wife, who's one of the greatest moms to my kids. She's a woman of God. She loves everyone. She loves unconditionally. She's a hard worker. I honor you in front of everyone. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to my in-law, my mother-in-law. And all you ladies out here, you guys have a hard job, a difficult task, and we know that you labor and you do it unselfishly. You continue to pour out, and so we just like to honor you today. Amen. And so if your mom is still around, make sure you let her know how much you love her and how much she means to you. Go and embrace her. Amen. So as my wife said, we're starting a brand new series called Ruth. All right? And so it's only four small chapters, and so I encourage you to read the book of Ruth, check out the book of Ruth, let the word of God come alive on the inside of you. And so the story of Ruth is really a story of going from ruin to redemptions. And so today we want to focus on coming out of the ruins of our life, coming out of those dark places, those places that seem to be ruined. Anybody ever experienced a dark place in your life before? You experienced some difficulty. You didn't know how you were going to make it through. And so this morning, hopefully this word will be an encouragement to you. And so the book of Ruth, it takes place at the time of the judges. And so that was around 1375 BC. That's quite a few years ago. And it happens before King David is born. Because at the end of the book of Ruth, we learn that Boaz and Ruth were the great-grandparents of King David. And so it happens during the time of Judges, and it happens before King David comes to the earth. And so somewhere between 1375 BC and 1040 BC, just a little history for you history buffs. All right, so we're looking at this, and we come across three main characters in this passage. The first one, Naomi, the mother-in-law of Ruth. We come across Ruth, the daughter-in-law of Naomi. And we come across a man named Boaz eventually. And he's going to be symbolic of our kinsman redeemer, as we will talk about in the coming weeks. But today, we want to focus in on the title, which is Come Out of the Ruins. Turn to your neighbor and say, come out of the ruins. Come out of the ruins. We're in Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. It says this. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two kids. So this is, again, after the time of the conquest, Joshua, the Lord had caused Joshua. He raised up a man named Joshua to lead the Israelites into the promised land. So they're living in the land of Canaan, but yet they experienced a great famine in the land. And it goes to show that sometimes, you know, in this Christian life, we can be living for the Lord. We can be living and dwelling in the house of God, but yet adversities come to us. Difficult situations we will face as believers. The Lord never said that it's going to be peaches and cream and Skittles and rainbows whenever you come to the Lord. No, he said you will have trials and you will have adversities, but lo, I am with you always to the end of the earth. Though we go through trials and though we go through trying times, that he will always be with us. And so we find in this story that they are dwelling in the land, but the famine is so bad that they said, you know, we have to leave. In order for us to survive, in order for my family to make it, we have to leave the land that God had brought us to and go to some distant land. And so I have a map of what this looks like for the man named Elimelech and his family. And so we find this little region, and you see Bethlehem. This is where they are dwelling. And they travel all the way around the Dead Sea, and they go to a land named Moab. All right. Now, in the land of Moab, they worship different idols. They worship different false gods. And so they're dwelling in a land that is distant to them, a land that is unknown to them. They are displaced from their homes. Now, as people, as citizens of South Louisiana, we know what it is to be displaced from our homes, whether it's temporary or whether it's for a permanent season of time. All of us have experienced displacement of some sort with this hurricane. And so they're living in a land that is unfamiliar to them. They're living in a land where others are worshiping these false gods, but yet they still have this hope that God will somehow bring them back and that God will somehow provide for them and will somehow bring them back to his people. That's where they need to be. That's where they belong. They belong amongst God's people in community with other believers. So in verse 2, it says, the name of the man was Elimelech. It kind of sounds like, anybody ever seen The Lion King? Elimelech, Elimelech. I'm sorry. It's not what they really said, but it kind of reminds me of that. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. You mothers out there, surely there are better names out there than Mahlon and Chilion. All right. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. Now, an interesting thing about the man named Elimelech, his name means God is King. God is King. And, of course, he was named this name whenever he was living in Bethlehem, whenever things were going good. God is King when things are going good, and we can relate to that. Whenever everything is falling in place, it's easy for us to lift our hands and say, wow, God is King. But what happens when everything, all your comforts, everything that you have trusted in, such as Naomi, is taken away from you? For Naomi, Elimelech was not only her provider, but her comfort. Her identity is wrapped up in the fact that she is Elimelech's wife. And Elimelech was an heir to the promise. He was a direct descendant from Abraham, therefore an heir to the promise. And so her whole identity is wrapped up in Elimelech, and now he's gone. Maybe many of you know what it's like to lose someone close to you. Is God still King? Continuing. You know, it's interesting about names. God is so adamant about names. Even in the Old Testament and throughout the Bible, God changes Abram's name to Abraham because Abraham was the name more suited for him for the promise. It was tied to the promises of God. Is God still King when everything that we've known, everything that we have trusted in, is stripped from us or taken away? You know, I mentioned that about the names because her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, you know what they mean? Quite interesting. Mahlon means sick. Chilion means pining or failing gradually in health or vitality. And so these sons were named this from the very beginning of their lives, and they were called Chilion, and they were called Mahlon. From the beginning of their lives, they were called sick, and they were called pining. You're fading away. How important it is, us as parents, to speak godly wisdom into our children, to speak life into our kids, and not to say, you're sick. You're pining, you're fading away, you're no good for nothing. You're going to be just like so-and-so. But as good mothers and as good fathers, we speak life into our kids. These two sons were, from the very beginning, they had things going against them. Their names, sick and failing in health or vitality. To make it relative to our lives today, and we put it all together. So at this point in her life, Naomi, she has lost God is King, Elimelech. And what remains is sick and pining, all right? How many of you can relate to that? You feel like at times, God, I've lost all sense that you are King in my life. I lost all sense that you have everything under control. Everything around me seems to be falling apart. God, I want to believe that you are able, but everything around just seems to be falling apart. And all I have is sick faith. All I have is pining faith, faith that is fading away. I don't trust you as I used to trust you. I don't believe that you are good as I used to believe. My faith is pining away. I want you to know today that even if that's you, if you still have a little faith, If you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, the Lord would say that the Lord can do something great in your life this morning. Amen. And it's not over. Amen. It's good that you experience those moments, because ultimately the Lord is wanting to heal you. He is wanting to restore you. He is wanting to make you whole again. And so if that is you in this place, know that it ain't over, that the story doesn't end there. The story does not end in pining faith. The story does not end in doubt. The story does not end in sick faith. But the Lord is a restoring God, amen? And he wants to restore some people this morning. So we continue. You would think up to this point, surely it couldn't get any worse for Naomi. But the very next verse says, these took Moabite wives. And so talking about her sons, it says that they took Moabite wives. Now the Lord had instructed the Israelites to not intermarry with those who worship false gods. For this reason, he said, look, in Deuteronomy 7:4, he says, for they would turn away your sons from following me to serve other gods. And so what an important message for us in 2022, not to be unyoked or not to be yoked with unbelievers. Because the same exact thing will begin to happen. That wife, that spouse, that husband will pull you away from the things of God and cause you to go after the things of this world. And so that's why the Lord said, do not intermarry with those who are not of like faith, for they will draw your hearts away. And here we find that Naomi's sons have done just that. And maybe some of you mothers can relate to that. You know what it's like to have your son, your daughter, intermarry or hooked up with someone who is leading them away from the presence of God and leading them away from the things of God. You can relate to Naomi this morning. There is hope. There is hope. There is hope. The name of one was Orpha, the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. So whenever it couldn't get any worse, she not only loses her husband, she's not only living in a distant land, far from where the people of God are. She no longer has, you know, her sons who are living with Moabite women, but then her sons die. Anybody, I mean, you're like, at this point, she must have been thinking, God, where are you? Why are you allowing all these things to happen to my life? What did I do, God? Are you set out to destroy me? Are you wanting to just take me out? We know this because at the end of Ruth, at the very end of this chapter, in verse 20 and 21, it says, she said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? Naomi means my delight. Mara means bitterness. So get this. She was named by her parents, by her father, my delight. She named herself Mara. How many times does calamity and things that come against us, they try to redefine who you are and whose you are? Because of the situation that she was in, because she lost her husband, she lost her sons, and all these things beset her, she looked at herself as bitterness. She looked at herself. That's what she named herself. That's not what her father named her. Her father named her my delight. When we allow the things of this world to swallow us, we lose perspective. We lose the fact that God delights in his children, that you are his delight. You are his child. You are a child of the living God. He didn't name you bitterness. He named you my delight. But we forget whenever we're surrounded. Whenever it just is so much adversity coming against us, we forget who we are. We forget whose we are. Naomi, for a moment in her life, she forgets who she is. Her name means my delight. Now, no one expected this to happen. Whenever Elimelech moved his family to Moab, surely he was expecting a better tomorrow. Surely he was hoping for things to get better, you know, a more prosperous land, a brighter future for my family. Whatever the case may have been, he was trying to avert death. He was trying to give his family the best possible situation that he could. And yet death is exactly what comes to him and his two sons. What happens when the dream dies, or appears to die? What happens when things don't go as we planned them? Is God still king? Is he still king? Or do we allow calamity and misfortune to cause us to forget who we are and whose we are in Christ? Her name was Naomi. It was not Mara. I'm thankful, though. Before we are too hard on Naomi, let's remember that she is a broken woman. She is a broken woman. She is in pain. She is hurting. And that you don't, we don't, the beauty of the gospel is that we don't have to have it all together to come to Christ. We don't have to have all of our pieces together for him to love us and to mend us and to make us whole again. In the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 through 10, he says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." She didn't have it all together. But one thing she did have, she had enough faith to rise above the situation that she was in. Whenever she heard that the Lord had visited Israel and that there was food in the land, she arose. Her faith caused her to arise out of that situation, out of the ruins, and she headed back towards the place where God had visited. Amen? And that's where we need to find ourselves whenever we are in those deep moments. We need to find ourselves visiting with the Lord, visiting, spending time in his presence, because only he has the answer to our lives. Only he can make us whole. Only he can restore us. Only he can mend that brokenness in our lives. We got to find ourselves in the presence of the Lord. Matthew 17:20 says, "For truly I say to you, if you have faith the grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here and to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." She had enough faith. It might have been small. It might have been a small amount of faith. But she arose upon hearing that the Lord had visited. Look at it in verse 8. It says, "But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go, return each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband.' Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, 'No, we will return with you to your people.' But Naomi said, 'Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way. For I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they are grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me.' Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her." Now, we see Naomi, but we see the brokenness that she's in. She has enough faith to arise and to go back to the land of her fathers, to go back to the promised land. But she feels like she has nothing to offer. She feels worthless. I can't produce any more kids in my womb. I have nothing to offer you, daughters-in-law. I have nothing. Go back to your mother. Go back to your family. Go back to where they worship false gods. I have nothing to give you. I have nothing. I'm just going back. I'm a broken person with nothing to offer. But Ruth seen something different. Ruth seen something different in Naomi. Ruth seen the fact that her husband was taken, that Naomi's husband was taken away. Ruth seen the fact that her two sons were taken away. But yet Ruth says, I want to go where you are going. I will not leave your side. There is something different about you, Ruth. You are, yes, you've experienced some hardships, and yes, you experienced some difficulties, but you have not abandoned your faith in God. I want to go where you are. I want to be with your people. I want your God to be my God because he's real. I see something different in you, oh, Ruth, oh, Naomi. And as an encouragement to you mothers and even fathers who are awaiting and believing that your children and those around you will be saved, that they will come to the knowledge of Christ, by your example, they are noticing, they are seeing that you are committed to the Lord, that the trials that you have endured have not broken you. You are still here. And for Naomi, as she travels back, she was still there. And sometimes that's the only thing that you have to hold on to. I don't have much to offer. I'm a broken person. But I'm here. I'm here. And that might be all you can say at that moment. God, I'm here. And that's all that he needs. That's all he needs. So for some of you, you just have to return back to the Lord. Say, God, this is me. I don't have anything to offer you, Lord. And yes, I am a broken person, but I'm here. It says in verse 15, and she said, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. Verse 19. And so the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the woman said, is this Naomi? She said to them, do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. The main point of this is that Ruth arose from the ruin that she was in. Yes, she experienced heartache. Yes, she experienced pain. I mean, pain that I could not fathom. I don't know what it's like to lose a spouse or to lose children. But yet it seemed like it just rained down on Naomi's life during that time. It just rained down. And it happens like that. When you go through adversity, it's not just one thing, but it is multiple things in a row that are really trying to just take you out. You got to make it back to the house of the Lord. You got to find yourself back in the community with God's people. And you might not have much to offer. You might feel that way this morning. You don't have anything to offer. And that's okay. It's okay if you come to him broken. It's okay if you come to him with doubts. Like, God, why you didn't heal this person? I was believing for you to heal him, and you never healed him. He can take your doubts. He can take your pain. It's okay if you come to him with nothing to offer. Just come to him. Just come to him. Book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, 6 and 7 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. What a great message for all of you mothers out there. For everyone, every one of us. That we can know from the Word of God. We don't have to have it all together to come to him. He'll take us in our brokenness. He'll take us whenever life doesn't make sense. He'll take us whenever we've experienced calamity and ruin all around us, and there is no more hope, and there is no more power or no more strength within us to go on. He'll take us in those weak moments. And he'll make us whole. This message has spoken to you in any way, would you just stand to your feet? Perhaps you're dealing with the very same thing Naomi has dealt with. Perhaps you may have some doubts. You may be questioning, God, why are all these things happening to me? It's okay to have doubts. God's bigger. God's bigger. God's bigger than your doubts. He can handle them. You can give your cares and your thoughts to Him. He can handle your doubts. You can give your pining faith, your weak faith unto the Lord. He can handle it. Come on, your faith might be weak. It may be sick. You may have even lost all faith. The Lord can handle it this morning. Would you give it to Him? Would you give Him your weak faith? Would you give Him your weaknesses? When we are weak, that's when He is strong. Would you just give it to the Lord this morning? Maybe you have to lift your hands and surrender that thing. Say, God, I place it in your hands. I don't have much, but Lord, I come to you with all that I am, and I say, I'm here. I'm yours. Would you do with me what only you can do? Would you restore my life in such a way, God, that only you can do it, Lord? Would you mend the brokenness of my life, Lord, for those who are grieving this morning? Would you mend their brokenness, O Lord? Would you heal the brokenness of their heart, Lord Jesus? Would you let them know that you are there and you are ready to receive them as they are? Perhaps you've run from the Lord for many years. But you're here today. You're here. You made it to the house of God. The Lord says, come back. Come back to me. Come back, my son. Come back, my daughter. Here I am. I am the good father who receives you. I'm the good father who cast your sin as far as the east is from the west. I am here to make you whole, thus said the Lord. Lord, we are coming back. We thank you, God, that you are calling us out of the ruins. Lord, you are restoring purpose, Lord, for each and every person in this room, Lord God. We thank you, Lord. Lord, that you have not abandoned us whenever it seems like you have abandoned us. Lord, you have not left us whenever it seems that we are all alone. You are right there with us. And we worship you. God, we just give you this day. Say, Lord, have your way in our lives. Heal the brokenness, O Lord. Mend that which the enemy has meant for evil. God, would you turn it around, Lord, for our good, O Lord. Thank you for healing. Thank you for mending. We just give you all the praise and all the glory. And let God's people say, amen. Amen.
For those that are standing in the room, just, you keep the lights down just for a moment. I thought, you know, as we hear the story of Ruth, I have never in my life called Naomi Mara. I mean, I read the story, but anytime I refer to the book of Ruth, I always say Naomi, because it means what? Called of God, my special one. And so no matter what you've been through or going through, I want you to walk out of that building not calling yourself Mara, but instead saying, I am a Naomi. Turn to your neighbor and say, I am a Naomi. I am a beloved of the Lord's. I mean, sometimes you just got to remind yourself. So we encourage you, walk out in that story and say, I'm walking out of the ruins and I'm walking into my future. And I am a Naomi. In Jesus' name, we love you guys. Happy Mother's Day. Touch someone's neck and make sure you grab one of those gifts. We have all kinds of gifts for you, mothers. And so make sure you grab one, all the ladies, all the girls, whatever it is. We've got tons. So you go and grab a gift in Jesus' name.